Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Sean Flynn. He is a host, speaker, best-selling author, mentor, advisor, and board member. Sean, welcome to our podcast.
Chris, thank you for your time, for having me on your show today. I'm a big fan, and I'm really happy to be here.
So I'm not sure. You might be our first guest, non-Asian guest, non-Chinese guest that has spoken Chinese to me. So kudos for being unique, Sean.
Xie xie.
And I say that both jokingly, but also seriously, because I'm almost to my 1,000th podcast, Sean, and I'm going to write an article about what you learned from giving 1,000 interviews, even though I've already given more than that, even past my podcast. And I learned that most people don't stand out. Most people blend in, and most people don't share their story well. And in your case, I don't even know you, but the fact that you can speak Chinese, which is literally the hardest language in the world, you already stand out. So I both say that jokingly, but also seriously, when you have people that do stand out, there's a reason. So Sean, tell us why you even chose to learn Chinese.
Oh God. So first off, I wanted the biggest challenge possible. After college, I wanted to travel the world. I lived in Costa Rica for almost 2 years. And when I was there, there was people I met at call centers. They already spoke English. They already spoke Spanish, obviously, native language. But they were learning Chinese in the thought process that if they could speak those three languages, they could speak to half the world's population. And this was 2005, 2007. And I didn't want to go back to the U.S. and get a real job. I graduated mechanical engineer, and all my friends from school were just telling me how they hated life. They were working, you know, 20-hour days. They're just ridiculous. And I was, you know, in Costa Rica, hiking in the mountains, living in a rainforest, all that good stuff, just having the time of my life. And I thought, well, you know, let's keep this adventure going. Let's see if I could do everything I did in Costa Rica and now do it in China. So 2007, went back to the U.S. for a little while, saved up some money, and then I went to China thinking I could do everything I did in Costa Rica within a year. But then I ended up in China for almost 5 years just because of how much more difficult everything is there.
Yeah, and just to explain to our listeners, will you tell us why it's difficult, and I'll chime in as well. Why is the Chinese language difficult?
Well, I mean, first off, you just hear the word, you know, sure, and you're like, okay, that has, you know, 26 different meanings to it. Which sure is it? Is it sure? Yeah, and each one, you tell someone and they'll give you this look like, wait, what? You know, and then you have these measure words for everything as well. And it's 100% different. It's not like a Latin language where you can kind of guess something similar to English. Everything is new. And then the reading itself, yeah, after you're there long enough, you can kind of guess the meaning of the word from the symbol. You know, okay, this has this radical or that. But when you're starting off for that first year, you're going, okay, this is a heart with a line between it. What does that mean? I don't get this at all. And you don't even know how to pronounce it. So there's just difficulty after difficulty. I mean, I've met a lot of Chinese people that come here to the U.S. and they forget their characters after a year or two. And you're like, wait, you grew up there for 20 years. So it's not this simple thing that, you know, you study it once and you remember it forever. The longer I'm away from China, I just see my level of vocabulary, my writing, my reading, all that just, you know, minimize, you know, exponentially. But it's a fun language, and it is one of those languages that, you know, you get a little bit of a grasp and people give you so much credit.
Which so, means so. He's saying he's really smart and he's really he's superb. Yeah. But the reason why it is so hard is because it's all memory, and there are symbols that you attach together. So when Sean was saying this character looks like heart, that could be in love. It could be someone, if you say, well, xin xin, which means like confidence. So when you believe in your heart, that's confidence. Or the character for mother, it's a character for woman on the left-hand side. And horse on the right-hand side. And since the horse is a revered animal in the Chinese culture, it's powerful, it's elegant. When you combine the symbol for horse and the symbol for mother, you have the character for, I'm sorry, when you combine the symbol for horse and symbol for woman, you have the character for mother. And this is why it's so hard. And though I'm born and raised in New York and I'm an American, but my parents from Hong Kong, so I learned the language of Chinese when I grew up. But even for me, it's hard. And then you have different dialects, and it's crazy. But that being said, what I hope our listeners take away from this, Sean, is that you chose to pursue your dream. You chose to learn the hardest language. And from that, there are these neurons and neuroplasticity. It changes. So I encourage everyone to learn new languages, especially Chinese, because it allows you to see things in different light. Now for you, you have this really cool podcast where you've invited a bunch of people that are somewhat well-known, where you have the co-founder of Square and Melanie from Canva. Why did you choose to create this Silicon Valley podcast?
Well, so for my job here in Silicon Valley, I'd often have very similar conversations with startups from overseas and locally of just how to do this or that, whether it's, you know, how to file their patents, whether it was how to create a pitch deck for investors, or, you know, do I need a bookkeeper now or a CFO, or, you know, just how do I, things like that. It was repeated questions over and over again. And at first I thought, okay, let me just record these. And I actually had a public access TV show for a while there in Mountain View. It ended up in 28 cities in the US. It grew pretty well, but it wasn't global. And I really wanted to take something where people in China or the Philippines or Africa or someplace could get access to the knowledge resources that are here in Silicon Valley. So I thought, okay, let me pivot this into a podcast. And so I did that. And I mean, the podcast has grown. And as you mentioned, I've had some absolutely amazing guests on the show. That's actually one of the benefits of being based in Silicon Valley. Just the people here are, I mean, you can't get, I mean, it's like Hollywood, but for tech. I mean, that's the best way.
No, it's the Hollywood Boulevard of tech, because that's where everything starts. I mean, that's the Mecca. It's like, if you want to go to Wall Street, you literally go to Wall Street and you meet all these bankers there, but that's the best way. And so no one actually has a podcast called the Silicon Valley Podcast. That shocks me, because you just started your podcast a few months ago.
Well, I actually started it about a year ago. It was called Silicon Valley. It was on another platform, and then I rebranded it. And I'm guessing maybe no one else has a big enough ego maybe to claim the Silicon Valley Tech or the Silicon Valley Podcast. I don't know, but I did get the name. I got the domain. And
that's crazy.
I've had a lot of people comment on it going, wow.
No, again, here's going back to the branding. We talked about this briefly before the podcast, where before they even know who you are, they already know certain brands. And in Silicon Valley's case, it's either like Harvard or Yale. Or when I travel around the world, I say I'm based in Beverly Hills, like, wow, you're in Beverly Hills, Christopher. Or like, I spoke at Google. Wow, you spoke on Google. But that's a great thing that you actually have, like I said, for you to just start off doing that. That's powerful. So what are... Since not everyone wants to have a startup, but many people are interested in business, what do you think are some of the things that is a through line, if you will, or a theme that you see in a lot of the guests that you have, in terms of what are some suggestions they have if they want to build a company?
I think the most universal theme is network. I mean, everyone at every level talks about the power of their network, the people that have helped them out, people that have given them advice, their mentors, their advisors, coaches, the people that, you know, they've asked questions to and given them just amazing answers. And I mean, that's a lot of the reasons behind a lot of these companies either succeeding or failing, just who they had on their team, giving them help, giving advice. Because I mean, most of these startups, they're young, they haven't been in business that long, but if they get the right mentors, the right advisors that have that experience, can, you know, really add fuel to the fire and point them in the right direction. So the network and connecting with people and building rapport has seemed to be a universal theme. And the most successful people I've interviewed are the ones that I've noticed, you know, say my name several times throughout the podcast, connect with me, you know, before and after. And it's just amazing, because you want to help these people out as much as you can. And some of these people are so successful, you're thinking, how could I ever help them? But they've built that instant rapport with you. It's an amazing skill.
It is. And it just goes to show you, especially in the world we live in now, you can get to almost anyone. I mean, I got convinced Elon Musk, who's harder to get to than the president, for an interview where I paid him $0. But like all things, it was because of the network that I knew and how to navigate those worlds of Elon and Jeff and Leo. But Sean, thank you so much for being on our podcast. How can our guests learn more about your podcast or your book or about your life?
I mean, go to thesiliconvalleypodcast.com. I'll find it on iTunes. Subscribe. All my social media handles are my name, Sean Flynn, SHAWNFLYNNSV. So Sean Flynn SV. And, you know, reach out, like, and subscribe. I'm always on LinkedIn.
Great, Sean. Thanks so much for your time. Have a great day.
Christopher, thank you for having me as a guest. This has been great.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.